The Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It is myself, Mo Mootsy, and today joining me is actually the first time being on camera. It's my personal bodyguard, Big Pat. Pat is our resident Thunder fan. In fact, he's been a fan of the Thunder so long, he started supporting them when they were the Sonics. So, he must be feeling pretty good. Game 7, he came to the crib to watch the game. And I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, I've not seen someone sit on the edge of the sofa at tip-off. I said, bro, there's four quarters going on. You don't need to, like, I get it, fourth quarter, you're going to be on the edge of the seat.
It's game this guy, seven.
Game seven, but it's the tip-off. He's, like, nervous about who's going to win a tip-off. I'm like, bro, chill out. A range of emotions you experienced during that game from a Thunder perspective, because it did not start too well.
This series has been stressful. Being like, you know, down, was it 8 points? 18-10?
Yeah, you were down 10 at one point. Double-digit lead for the Denver Nuggets.
Because all that's going through my mind is, it happened to the Cavs. It happened to the Cavs. The regular season don't mean that, and it happened to the Cavs.
It is interesting, because the top four regular season teams, Houston, Boston, Cleveland, and OKC... If OKC hadn't advanced today, it would have been looking a little peak for the regular season dominant teams. But just in case you guys missed it, the Oklahoma City Thunder absolutely annihilated the Denver Nuggets in Game 7. 125-93 final score, but the game was pretty much over by halftime.
Yeah.
By halftime. Because there was a point in the second quarter where the Denver Nuggets were up 11 points.
Yeah.
They went into halftime down 14. That's a 25-point swing.
Yeah, the last 2 minutes of the second half was decent.
It's like the OKC Thunder came into this game, and you could tell, you know, we talk about the lack of experience from OKC. Maybe a little bit nervous, a lot of pressure, a lot riding on this game, and they didn't start too well. I mean, to start the game, the Denver Nuggets were getting to the paint, getting to the free throw line, doing what they do, playing bully ball. The OKC Thunder settling for a lot of jump shots, but the difference in the game was... Alex Caruso, number one, but the entire team just turning up the defense, getting out and running. And that's been their recipe all season long, and defense wins championships. So I feel like we saw a side of OKC that maybe they've just been relaxing too much in the playoffs so far. How do you feel from an OKC perspective about that?
No, 100%. They did not play this game with Game 7 intensity at the beginning. It was like it's a normal run-of-the-mill game. Middle of Jan, we're good, we can bounce back. I'm like, it's game seven. Like, mm-hmm. Russell's block kind of showed you the emotion you're meant to be having.
Russ plays every game like it's a game seven.
Right, but the hustle that the Nuggets had, the mere fact you've got injured players playing, that is playoff basketball.
Yeah. Aaron Gordon starting in the starting lineup with a grade 2 hamstring strain. Insane, like, for anyone to do that, and the fact that he's putting everything on the line, because that hamstring strain could have turned into a worse injury.
Right.
And he's willing 100%. To take that risk to try, and this is what being an athlete and a competitor is all about. So full credit to Aaron Gordon and the Denver Nuggets. You know, they took this to 7 games. I thought this series would be over a lot quicker, especially given that it took them 7 games to win the first round. I thought they'd be worn out by Game 5 of this series.
You could see second half that, like, as you said, like, their rotation was killing them because they don't have the bench for it. But it's one of OKC's bogey teams. So it wasn't really, as I said, like, the amount of people I spoke to at game one, like, this, oh, you'll walk this 4-1. I'm like, this, no. This will be a series.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a walk. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was going to be a walk. And it's testament to just how good Nikola Jokic and, you know, his teammates around him have been throughout this playoff run so far. The difference in this game, when you really look at it, is the 22 turnovers the Denver Nuggets had.
Yeah.
And that they were kind of forced into by the Thunder defense. And the fast break points for the Thunder just kept stacking up. The fast break points, 27-14 in favor of OKC. And that led to the points in the paint disparity in mainly the end of the third quarter. Look at the points in the paint, 64-42 in OKC's favor. If they played like they did at the start, they would have never got to that point. The thing for the Denver Nuggets, and this is one of my pet peeves, you guys know on this show. Why does no one know how to throw a post-entry pass anymore? I would love to know the reason to all the trainers out there, all the coaches out there. Why is this not being taught anymore? Because Nikola Jokic spent this game guarded by Alex Caruso, who's
madness,
much smaller than him in height and in weight. Caruso did get away with fouling Jokic on pretty much every possession. Yeah, however, what I will say to that is the way that refs call fouls on guards when they're defending bigs is very different to when bigs are defending bigs or bigs are defending guards. If you're a small player guarding a player much bigger than you, you can get away with so much more than anyone in any other situation on the basketball court. So even though the Denver Nuggets were getting to the line more, they could have got to the line on every single possession down there. But this is the playoffs, and we're not here to complain about fouls, calls, or not being called. Alex Caruso did a superb job of using his physicality to deny entry passes to Jokic, or when the ball was in the air, kind of sneaking around to get a steal. The help defenders knew when they could shoot the gap to get that steal when the ball's coming into Jokic, but also when the ball's going away from Jokic to the open shooter. They really did their film study on this one.
Yeah.
And saw that pay off in Game 7. And I want to shout out to Jalen Williams, because he was heavily criticized, not just by myself, by everyone, throughout this series. Tonight, he was 10 of 17 from the field, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal on his way to the OKC Thunder victory. So the Denver Nuggets are out of here. Before we move on and talk about what's happening in the conference finals, I want to talk about the Denver Nuggets just a little bit, because you've got potentially the best player in the world. In fact, definitely the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic, on your team. And it's yet another season where you feel like that's been wasted because of the lack of depth in this squad. I think, for better or for worse, Russell Westbrook was a very good addition to this team.
Yeah.
I think Christian Brown has grown a lot. With KCP leaving, he's really stepped up his game. Julian Strother, you saw in Game 6, came up big. Peyton Watson, very solid defender. But Jamal Murray, in this game, finishing with 13 points, 6 of 16 from the field, is not the Game 7 playoff Jamal Murray that we're used to seeing. Michael Porter Jr. finishing with 6 points tonight simply is not good enough. So when you look at the roster and how it's constructed in Denver, there aren't really any ways to get better and get more depth without moving Jamal Murray, because the owners have come out and said that they don't want to move Michael Porter Jr. So the question then becomes, are you going to have to move Jamal Murray? You're not moving Jokic. I highly doubt they would move Aaron Gordon after the playoff run he just had.
Yeah, you couldn't.
But Jamal didn't have a great regular season, and he's not a great regular season player. Never been an all-star, but he always makes up for it in the postseason. But when they needed him most, and I know he's had like an illness that he's been battling with, but when they needed him most, this was a horrific display from him in the first half. And the reason why I keep saying first half is because the second half wasn't even really a game. Like, come on, man. This is what it is. Jamal and Michael Porter were very disappointing. So it's like, where do the Denver Nuggets go from here? They fired their coach a week before the playoffs. They've got a team that's kind of locked in. They've lost depth every year since they won a championship. How do they get better?
I feel that them firing their coach was the prelude to, you know, that they're going to start making some big moves off-season. I'm sure they've already started talking to people about Jamal Murray. If you got rid of Aaron Gordon, it would be the same as like Dallas losing Luka.
I don't think it'd be quite that level. Like, if they moved Jokic, it would be that level.
No, I mean just off this series.
Off this playoff run. Two game winners.
Yeah.
Playing with a strained hamstring.
Right,
they call him Mr. Nugget now.
Yeah, and I'm saying if you got rid of him right now, because he's like, you know, he's got good stock in his name at the moment. But yeah, no, I'd say that Jamal Murray is going to another team. He's more likely going to go to somewhere in the East.
Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Denver Nuggets, but it's going to be even more interesting seeing the conference finals play out, as we are going to have a new champion for the first time, maybe ever, or since 1973 for the Knicks. 1979 if you want to count the Supersonics. But when the Supersonics are brought back, I think they get the history, and it's not going to stay in OKC. So technically, it will be OKC's first title.
True.
But before you get to the championship, you've got to get through the conference finals. Now, we were talking during the game. You're a little bit afraid of those Minnesota Timberwolves. From an OKC perspective, break this down for me.
Regular season, we've lost the season to.
Okay, but here's the thing. And I'm going to talk to the camera because I want to clip it for Instagram. I think it's time we stop doing this thing where we include head-to-heads in the regular season as part of our analysis going into the playoffs. Why? The New York Knicks had that ridiculous stat where they were like 0-10 against Boston, Cleveland, and OKC, and then they whooped the hell out of Boston. The Denver Nuggets, I think, what was their record in the head-to-heads in the regular season against OKC? I think they were better than OKC in their head-to-head matchups, and they went outside in Game 7. So I'm not putting too much stock into the regular season records between any of these teams that are left, because this is a different game now.
No, I think we kind of said that it's going to be the inside game, it's going to be defense that wins this series. And SGA are just going to go at it and score, stripping out the buckets. It's going to be, does Gobert turn up, or do we get like half a Gobert? And does Hartenstein and Chet kind of like win the day? That will be the game for me.
The interesting matchup for me, I think, is you're going to put Isaiah Hartenstein on Rudy Gobert, and then you're going to put Chet Holmgren on Julius Randle, who's a very physical player. And we saw that in the series in particular against the Lakers. Chet is a good player, but he's not built for that level of physicality. I want to see how that matchup turns out. We know what Shea's going to do. We know what, you know, they're going to put Lou Dort on Anthony Edwards to try and disrupt him. They're going to put Jaden McDaniels on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to try and disrupt him. Those guard matchups will be as expected. I want to see what they do with the bigs, in particular Julius, who's been having a great postseason run.
Has indeed.
How they're going to solve that problem there. Are they going to maybe try and put a more athletic player? Maybe they put Lou Dort on Randle, and then they can live with a combination of a Caruso, a Shea, a Jalen Williams on Anthony Edwards, taking turns.
Yeah, and also with Caruso guarding Joker, I think they're going to try and add that in as well. As you said, have one of those two as the backup to him disrupting him, getting the ball and kind of being a bit more of a bully downstairs.
Yeah, I think it's different because of the way the Nuggets use Jokic. Is it's very much he's going to come to the elbow, he's going to get the ball, and they're going to run a play out of that, right? Which is, you can deny the catch to that and you can kind of be a pest and play those passing lanes. The way the Timberwolves play their offense is very different. Yeah. And, you know, it's not like OKC figured out anything crazy against Denver in terms of we'll just guard him with a small guy and just live with the results. Because they were a Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. stink fest away from losing. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like every team could do that against Jokic. And I don't know if they'll be able to get away with that against the Timberwolves, because, and Alex Caruso is a great defender, but if you're just going to leave him on an island with bigs, is Alex Caruso now going to be your big? You're going to run ultra small ball? Like, I don't know if you can live with that as a go-to strategy. That's a nice counter to have in your pocket if your big's getting foul trouble and you want to disrupt the flow of the game.
You wouldn't start a game with that strategy. I don't know. As a Thunder fan, now that like Russ is out of the playoff picture now, as a Thunder fan, I want us to win. I want us to go to the finals. Wouldn't mind playing the Knicks. Don't want to play the Pacers.
You think the Pacers would be a harder matchup than the New York Knicks?
No, I just don't want to play the Pacers.
Why?
Because I know certain Pacer fans.
I think the championship, like I've been saying this for a while now, I feel like everyone's overthought it so much. The Thunder were so historically good in the regular season that it's like what everyone did with the Celtics last year. It's like a historically good team. And you saw today when they want to turn up their defense, I don't know why they didn't do this earlier in the series, but when their defense turns up at this level, I don't think there's a team in the league that can defend at this level. And as we say, defense wins championships. So if that's the logic we're going with, I think it's the Thunder's championship to lose at this point.
100%.
Okay, cool. If the Celtics were still in, maybe you're thinking the Celtics are championship favorites, but they're not. They got sent home. If certain other teams were in, you might be looking at them as threats. But right now, looking at the rest of the field, those teams, I don't know. I think the Wolves are the hardest test left. I think the Wolves will be harder for OKC to get past than either team that comes out of the Eastern Conference. So it's just a question of, are you going to get beaten down badly enough in this series that it will impact you in the finals if one of those teams wins quite easily? I think that this now is the true test. But I think after this Game 7, they've turned the gear and they're not going to take their foot off the gas anymore.
If they look at this, if they look at this series as a lesson and play intensity, play defense, we will get past the Wolves in six.
Wolves in six is your official prediction.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be a gentleman's sweep. Wolves in six.
Wolves winning in six.
No.
Thunder. OKC in six. I was going to say.
Thunder in six. Easy. Don't.
Okay.
But it will not be easy. As I said, it's going to be more stressful games for me to watch. But I agree with you. Once you get past them, no disrespect to anyone in the East, and I don't really want to upset Knicks fans, just in case you get through. But the East should be then an easier match from the mountain you've already climbed to get there.
Yeah, I think with the Timberwolves, they have some very good perimeter defenders. Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dante DiVincenzo. These are all guys that can do similar things on the defensive end to what the OKC perimeter guys can do. They can get stops. This is going to be a very different matchup to what Denver posed, because who's Denver's best perimeter defenders? Their power forward, Aaron Gordon, or Peyton Watson, who comes off the bench with 2 years experience. So it's going to be a very different stylistic matchup. And they say styles make fights. And I'm very intrigued to see how this series goes. And I'll be honest, I don't really know who to pick right now. I'm leaning towards the Thunder because what I saw from them defensively today is outrageous. Like, outrageously good. I can't overstate how good that defensive stretch to end that second quarter and that third quarter was. Like,
yeah,
I've not seen a defense locked in like that in quite a while. I'm leaning towards the Thunder, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Timberwolves came out and took it. I really wouldn't.
That's the worry. As a Thunder fan, that is my worry, that the Wolves are like a better Grizzlies.
Mm.
And as much as the Grizzlies didn't pose that much of a threat in the first round.
Oh, no threat.
The Grizz were still like one of those teams that if they get hot and we start playing that kind of like weird basketball again, they will take two games. Look at the Knicks series.
Yeah, I think a lot of this, we know what Shea's going to provide. I think me and CT talked about this on the show earlier this week. Who's the number two guy? Is it going to be Jalen Williams? Is it going to be Chet Holmgren? Obviously, J-Dub had a big game today, but most of his buckets were just coming in transition.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like he was cooking in the half court because they didn't need to. But who's going to be the second guy who steps up? Because the Timberwolves have a pecking order. It's Ant-Man. It's Julius Randle. And then after that, it's everyone else. Whereas the Thunder, you've got Shea and then everyone else. I want to see if J-Dub or Chet steps up and takes that role.
Chet should step up in this. The key for us winning the next round is Chet.
Because
if Chet has a good game, as you just said, all of the Wolves' bigs now have to worry about him.
Mm.
And then you've then, as you said, got your J-Dubs, your SGAs, all that kind of stuff. They've got to contend with. But if Chet's having a good game where he's an actual threat and he stops shooting so many threes and actually comes in and disrupts, like, you know, makes them actually move off their spot, it makes it easier for the team.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting as well to see if the Wolves can stay out of foul trouble. Because we know Shea's a player who loves to get in that paint, get those fouls drawn. But I've been slowly moving more and more out of camera. I'm so sorry. You want to see my no haircut having self? Here I am. I want to see if the Wolves can stay out of foul trouble, though. That's another factor that you have to think about when you're playing against Shea or Alexander.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, for me, it's more like, how is this series being called? Because Nuggets Thunder was not called in the same way that Knicks Pistons was called. I don't know what the referees are going to do with this series. Are they going to allow them more physicality? Are they going to be stricter with their whistle? I don't know what they're going to call. It's the conference finals. They should let them play. But
the refs took, I think, at least two of the games in this series, it was the refs. Mm-hmm. It was both teams playing the refs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were calling absolute stupid fouls. I forgot what game it was. And, like, the fourth quarter seemed to me like it lasted, like, half an hour because it was just free throw practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully they let them play. But you know they're not going to. They're not going to. It's more advertising time for them.
Well, we're going to break down the pace of the Knicks series after game one of Thunder Timberwolves is in the books. But, Pat, while you're here, do you have a prediction for Knicks Pacers?
Knicks in six. We'll go with the flow. Knicks in six.
Okay.
I just feel it is their time to get back to the finals. I think Pacers were lucky. They played well, but Pacers were lucky. I just think the Knicks are just going to... They're going to ride off all the hype and stuff. Knicks in six.
I would love to see a game seven at Madison Square Garden for that one. I would love to see a game seven.
How much would ticket prices be?
Tickets for Madison Square Garden with a trip to the NBA Finals on the line. I'm saying a courtside seat, you're looking at about 40K.
It was
25 for the second round.
No, tickets on game day were going for like about 50K.
Just normal tickets?
Courtside.
Courtside, yeah, 50.
50.
But it was the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know
true.
What I mean? You know what I mean? Like, come on. Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Yeah, 50. I don't know who's got 50. We saw that guy today courtside in Oklahoma with the Air Max.
Yeah, that was a flex.
If you guys don't know about it, Pat, tell them about the Air Max.
The Back to the Future shoe. That you can't find them for under 100 and something or grand. Like, six and he just had them prep. Just on his feet. Yeah, I'm just watching the game.
Who knew there was money like that in Oklahoma?
The cameraman knew. There were too many shots going back to them. Thanks, the cameraman knew.
Well, congratulations to OKC Thunder as they advance to the conference finals, where they will face everyone's favorite player right now, Ant-Man. The amount of people that, you know, because people see me sometimes, they stop me and talk about basketball. Everyone who I ask, your favorite player, they'll be like, oh, I love Steph Curry, I love LeBron. But right now, it's Anthony Edwards. He's taken over the world.
His YouTube channel is really good. Not as good as yours, but it's really good.
I need to start posting again.
He's Adidas, and I'm not an Adidas fan. But Adidas's adverts with him are on point.
Yeah, they do a good job.
They're like Nike old adverts where you'd kind of watch them again. His adverts mixed in with his YouTube channel, and then everyone's still talking about the Netflix program as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the person of the moment.
Batman, Spider-Man, Ant-Man. Wolves and Fire. No, I don't know. Anyway,
Pat, who have you got?
For East or West?
West.
For the West, it's so tough to predict. It's literally a coin toss. But seeing as I'm here and you're putting me on the spot, I'm saying this. If the Thunder win, it has to be in five games. Because I like Ant-Man in a game seven.
Yeah.
Six or seven, I like the Wolves. I think the Thunder need to take what they did today, keep their foot on the gas, obliterate them in game one, and obliterate them in game two. Not win by 10, win by 30. They're 1 30-point win away from the record for most 30-point wins in the playoffs already. They have to come out early, and they're still on the road in Minnesota.
I will sit there and say this. There will be a blowout game for both teams in this. Like, disgusting blowouts.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I hear you. And then for the East?
Oh, you guys have to tune in on Monday to find out my predictions for the East. How about that? But what I will say as well with this game seven, you're playing against Jokic, who looked knackered before the game even started.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon with one hamstring. Michael Porter Jr. with a busted shoulder. Just him playing. Michael Porter Jr. with a shoulder injury. Russell Westbrook with like three injuries. Jamal Murray with an illness. And I'm not taking anything away from the Thunder because every team goes up against injured opponents. But a healthy Wolves team in a game seven would be a very different animal to the Denver team that was out there tonight.
But I don't think they would have played as lackadaisical. I think the Thunder were playing to... Like, they'd start the game with, look, they're knackered, we'll take this game. And then they got caught off guard and was like, wait, hold on, they can still play basketball. Yes, they're all professionals, like yourselves. I think they'll have a different mindset with a younger Wolves team.
Okay. Well, only time's going to tell. If the Thunder win a championship, Pat's going to be back on the show. So don't worry about that. We'll have a cigar and the goggles and everything. But we've got to see if they can get it done. Subscribe to the podcast. We switched on the flow. This is my first time having someone in my office to do the podcast with me in my office. How about that?
I feel very privileged.
There you go. The first guest. It's also weird talking like here instead of to Zoom over here. So... You know, that was fun. Pat, appreciate you coming through. You guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back after game one of the Western Conference Finals. Until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.